This episode is brought to you by my friend Rebecca Walzer, a financial expert who can help you protect your wealth. Book your free call with her team by going to friendofdinesh.com. That's friendofdinesh.com. Good morning and happy Monday. I'm Danielle D'Souza Gill, the small version of Dinesh. Dinesh is mini-me, as you might say. He's taking off this week. He's working on other projects, so I will be hosting his podcast this week. I'm delighted to be here. I thought about what to focus on for today's podcast and asked myself, what can I offer his audience that he can't? The answer? Very little, since he does know everything. He is the person who knows everything about everything. Those of you who listen to his Dante lectures and Odyssey lessons, you know what a Renaissance man he is. I want to start out by saying you all listen to the best podcasts in the nation. Truly, I'm an avid listener myself. I'm going to be taking a break from reviewing those works that he usually goes through, and we'll be talking today about the importance of conservatives reaching young people. That's something that as a young person, I might have a little bit of an interesting perspective on. We will dive into this topic at length. Can conservatism win with young people? Is it already winning with young people? What do young people think about the social issues, and should the GOP have more young people run for office? We'll also talk to two amazing young people, Ryan Fournier from Students for Trump and CJ Pearson from PragerU. This is the Dinesh D'Souza podcast.
America needs this voice. The times are crazy, and a time of confusion, division, and lies. We need a brave voice of reason, understanding, and truth. This is the Dinesh D'Souza Podcast.
You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. On top of the special exclusively for my listeners on the Persil and Giza Dream bed sheets, marked down as low as $29.98, Mike's now changing the game with his three-piece towel set. This set is made with USA cotton, making it extremely absorbent, yet still providing that soft feel you look for in a towel. The set comes with one bath, one hand towel, and one washcloth, typically retailing for $49.99. For a limited time, you can get this three-piece towel set for the low price of $19.98 with promo code Dinesh. Don't miss out on these incredible offers. There is a limited supply, so be sure to order now. Call 1-800-876-0227 and use promo code Dinesh, or go to MyPillow.com, click on the radio listener square, and use promo code Dinesh. This offer will not last long. They are known to sell quick, so order now with promo code Dinesh at MyPillow.com. If I were to quiz you about George Floyd and Black Lives Matter, how many questions would you get right? If you are only listening to the mainstream media, you most likely fail. The media lied to you about George Floyd and ignored the fact that the Black Lives Matter organization used his name to raise $90 million. If you ever wondered where the money went, we finally have some answers. And on October 12th, Candace Owens' documentary, The Greatest Lie Ever Sold, will bring all those answers to light. Candace went to Minneapolis, to the scene of the violent, radically divided aftermath that tore our nation apart. And she followed the money to uncover BLM executives living in million-dollar mansions. But that's just the start of how all of that money is being used to further corrupt traditional American values. If you want a good dose of reality to counteract the narrative, you need to see this film. Go to dailywire.com/Dinesh and become a Daily Wire Plus member. You will not want to miss it. That's dailywire.com/Dinesh. If you've ever been to a pro-life rally personally, you'll notice a lot of things that don't filter through the coverage as it's presented on the mainstream news. This is especially true with regards to the counter-protesters. For example, you'll notice that the photos are always framed to make the number of pro-lifers and pro-abortionists look similar. In reality, the pro-lifers usually number in the hundreds or even thousands, while the counter-protesters genuinely don't make more than a token handful. Another detail lost to the media is the average age of the protesters. People advocating for pro-life policies tend to skew much younger than their counterparts. You see high school students and large families with many children on the pro-life side now. On the pro-abortion side, you have mostly middle-aged cat owners. Occasionally, you get a few disenfranchised, man-hating college-age adults, but not children. Sometimes leftists are extra evil and dress up their children as pro-abortion protesters with signs like, "You should have been aborted." Most people, forget what your politics are, find that using pro-choice children is a weird flex and an oxymoron. You would think that leftists would have a difficult time explaining they are pro-abortion to their children. And the natural response of a child, I'm sure, would be, "Did you want to abort me?" This reminds me of how Kim Kardashian allegedly explored aborting her first child, Northwest. You would think leftist parents would find these conversations with their children to be, well, at the least, uncomfortable. But no, to the left, the earlier kids hear about these things, the better. They should be pro-abortion once born. The left would have you believe that theirs is the movement of the future, that their ideas are fresh, that they represent the inevitable march of progress towards an undiscovered country where there is no place for conservatives or their ideas. Yet attending a pro-life rally reveals the left for what it is: geriatric, tired, confused, angry, and lumbering towards extinction. But it also still proves the point. The conservative philosophy is one which, by its very nature, encourages life. It's not surprising, then, that by embracing life itself, the conservative movement has become the true movement of the youth. It's a natural consequence of not only being pro-life, but also pro-family. You see, many young people at pro-life rallies, Students for Life has chapters all over the country. You also see many young families at the March for Life. I spoke at the March for Life's prayer service last year and went with a friend of mine, her husband, and her one-month-old newborn baby. So many people came up to her, so happy she brought her baby with her to the march. So this idea that leftist philosophies will somehow overwhelm and conquer their conservative counterparts is not supported by the facts. Because conservatism is growing amongst the youth, especially as conservatives are giving birth to more children than their leftist counterparts. After generations of pushing policies that either kill or stifle life, the left is in the position of a farmer who threw away all his seed only to be surprised to find nothing growing in his field come harvest time. Which, incidentally, is not just an analogy. Biden's green energy policies raise the cost of the fuel used for running farm machines while at the same time shutting down oil refining, which is where we get all our fertilizer. This has caused food prices to rise because there's less food being produced now. This is another way leftism manifests as a lifeless ideology. Conservatism, on the other hand, is where you find all the youth and vibrancy of a culture that is not trying to erase itself from the face of the earth, but trying to multiply. And it's not just in pro-life protests where we see that youth is a conservative asset. We see it in the candidates running for office this year. In Ohio, 38-year-old J.D. Vance is 11 years younger than his 49-year-old opponent, Tim Ryan. In New Hampshire, Caroline Leavitt is one of the youngest candidates at 25. Her opponent, Chris Pappas, is 42 years old, which means there's a 17-year age difference. One of the biggest age differences has to be between the 36-year-old Blake Masters in Arizona and his 58-year-old opponent, Mark Kelly. At 22 years, Masters Sr., Democrat Mark Kelly is old enough to be Masters' father. These age differences are already making a big difference in Congress as well, where the average age of Republicans is consistently lower than the average age of their Democrat counterparts. While there's no appreciable partisan age difference in the Senate, where the average age is around 64 to 65, the average age of Republicans in the House is 56, compared to the Democrats' 60. Among those acting as committee chairs, the split widens slightly, with Republicans averaging 57, but Democrats averaging 62 years of age. And if you look at House party leadership, this is where you see the biggest contrast. The average age of House party leaders for Republicans is 54. For Democrats, it's 71. That is another example of an entire generation between Democrats and Republicans. And the important thing to note here is that this is less of a GOP plot to seed Congress with young people than it is simply the natural outcome of a culture that prizes young people having traditional values. The culture of life is now also the culture of youth. And this doesn't just go for the age of the candidates themselves. Take Carrie Lake, for instance. At 53, she's a year older than her Democratic competitor, Katie Hobbs. But Lake has the snap and attitude of someone 20 years her junior. She doesn't just mentally run circles around her opponent. She also can instantly flummox the most determined lefty media rep. When you are pro-life, you birth new connections to the younger generation. And these personal ties to the youth help keep you grounded about what is going on in the world. How many times have Americans been frustrated trying to communicate to our representatives the challenges unique to the younger generations, only to realize they have no idea what we're talking about? Issues like transgenderism in school, locker rooms, internet and social media censorship, doxing, CRT, and ESG have been very serious challenges to American liberty for many years. But it seems only recently that the political class has finally caught on to how severe and pervasive these problems are. Many older people are well-meaning, but are still waking up to the fact that these things are pure evil. Previous politicians treated these like isolated matters that were merely anecdotal, but now our representatives are coming to realize that these are problems that are in fact tearing the country apart. They are tearing families apart, because that's what the left wants. For families to be destroyed, for lives to be ruined. We can thank the younger generation of Republicans for these changes. They served as cultural ambassadors, not just from conservative America, but from America's future. Larger conservative families have access to a much wider data set thanks to their cross-generational connections. Being pro-life means we proliferate across greater spans of both time and space, making us better informed and equipped to properly respond to society's growing list of problems. My dad and I talk politics all the time, and my husband and I do too. It's so important to constantly be in dialogue about these issues. That might sound a bit hyperbolic, but across the country and around the world, the number of childless politicians has been increasing. And at the same time, governments have been getting more and more short-sighted. Like I said earlier, Joe Biden's green policies have led to simultaneous decreases in both energy and food, two things which we need to survive. These same green policies are having similarly disastrous consequences all across Europe. They are pushed everywhere anti-Western and anti-civilizational ideologies are vogue among elite urban nihilists. It's insanely self-destructive, which means the people pushing these measures are either stupid about how the world works or are indifferent about how their policies harm the very people they are supposed to serve. It could even be possible that they are both stupid and indifferent. But as I just outlined, it doesn't matter, because the solution to both is youth. I'm not saying youth is the answer to everything. Obviously, we want to choose our representatives first and foremost by their merits. But here, too, youth serves as an amazing force multiplier because it expands the pool of available candidates from which to choose. Ultimately, it is undeniable that youth are key to maintaining the party's energy and vitality. The Democrats' philosophy, on the other hand, has left them enervated and clueless. They look at all the institutions they've captured and prematurely declare themselves triumphant. Unfortunately, without youth to fill and operate those institutions, they become, like Democrats, hollow and worthless artifacts. As conservatives, we know those same institutions are lost, but at the very least, we have the vitality to start over and rebuild. A daily dose is 10 servings of fruits and veggies, sourced from 31 different fruits and vegetables. Daily dose is 6 easy capsules, 3 fruits and 3 veggies. I don't eat anywhere near 10 daily servings of fruits and veggies. Balance of nature is the way I ensure I give my body what it needs to stay healthy. Sometimes the worst tasting veggies are the ones that are actually the best for you. That's why I take Balance of Nature, so I can get all the nutrients my body needs. All those vibrant colors in the produce section of the supermarket, those represent all the nutritional variety you need to stay healthy. If you're not eating every one of those fruits and veggies, you need to do what I do. Take Balance of Nature every day. My busy life means I rarely am able to eat all the fruits and veggies that I should. There's just not enough time in the day. But I'm not sacrificing my health just because I'm busy. I take those 6 easy Balance of Nature capsules every day, and so should you. Many folks wait until they don't feel good to start taking Balance of Nature. Start today, like me. Balance of Nature helps put all the right building blocks in place for your health and immune system, so you have your best shot at staying healthy. Join me and experience the Balance of Nature difference for yourself. For a limited time, all new preferred customers will receive an additional 35% off discount and free shipping on your first Balance of Nature order. Use discount code America. Aches and pains come to us all eventually, whether from the normal wear and tear of time or from injury. You have the choice to feel trapped by aches and pains, or you can fight back against it. The tools are different from a decade or more ago. Now there's 100% drug-free Relief Factor. I fought back with RF, and you can too. RF supports your body's fight against inflammation that is the source of aches and pains. About 70% of over 500,000 people who try Relief Factor order more because it works for them. You have nothing to fear and everything to gain. Isn't it time for you to get out of pain? I have heard great things about Relief Factor from many people. If you know someone who has experienced aches and pains, this is the perfect gift for them. I know that my mother-in-law, who had a very invasive knee surgery with a long recovery, tried Relief Factor and found that it worked wonders. Now you should give it a try too. Your first step to becoming pain-free just might be to order the 3-week quick start for the discounted price of only $19.95. Go to relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246 to find out more about this offer. That's relieffactor.com or call 833-690-7246. Feel the difference. We are now going to speak to a young conservative who's very innovative and knowledgeable about the digital space, someone on the front lines of reaching our youth, Ryan Fournier. Ryan is the founder of Students for Trump and describes himself as nuclear MAGA. I am too, Ryan. Ryan, I want to start out by asking you how you started Students for Trump.
You know, for me, it was kind of random. It was kind of on accident how all of this sort of became to be as what it is now. I believe I was in a JCPenney's with my mother and my grandmother, and I was watching Donald Trump's sort of golden escalator announcement where he was coming out saying he's running for president in 2016. And, you know, I had a few thoughts to myself. One was, you know, this guy is both rich, you know, he's a white guy. And then I look back to, you know, both of the elections we lost to Obama, and why did those guys lose? Well, it was because they were both, of course, white. They were rich. But the one thing that they had missing was that they had no clue whatsoever how to connect with middle America. But here you have this guy, Donald J. Trump, the you're fired guy from The Apprentice, you know, giving all these speeches. You know, I think I watched this video of his announcement probably a month or two after he announced. And so by then there'd already been speeches. There'd already been maybe a debate or so. And I was watching him and I was like, man, this guy is like the golden nugget, because not, you know, it's not that he's white or that he's rich. You know, he transcends that, but he knows how to actually get down in the trenches and have a conversation with an everyday, you know, everyday Americans. And that's what sold me on this guy. You know, if anyone among the crowd of 17 plus contenders that we had during that primary, it was going to be Donald J. Trump that was going to be, you know, the coronated queen herself, Hillary Clinton. And so we started this social media accounts that turned into a volunteer grassroots movement. And then in 2019, a partnership with Turning Point Action and Charlie Kirk. So I think we did all the right things. It wasn't easy. But, you know, at the end of the day, we've made some tremendous strides, and we're going to keep doing that going here into 2022 and 24.
Well, congratulations on all your success. It's amazing. What do you feel like it is? Because I know Trump, he's such a special character. character. He's amazing. He's brought in so many voters who wouldn't normally vote Republican. But what do you think it is about young people that make them especially drawn to Trump? I mean, it could be his humor, his personality, but do you feel like there are things that Students for Trump you like to focus on to bring young people into the conservative side?
Yeah, you know, and I'd like to also start by saying that, you know, Democrats especially, and they're very good at this, they use the college campus sort of as a roadmap to the White House, where they'll go on this, you know, these campuses and they'll say all of these really awesome things that sound good, you know, on paper, but when you try to put them into reality, it doesn't work out so well, like this whole forgiving student loan debt, sort of a carrot stick approach that they use with young people. I mean, to quote Kamala Harris, I think in 2020, she said that young people are very stupid when referencing, you know, 18 to 24 year olds. You know, it's like you're hating on your own base, but there is some truth to that because they believe that, right? They're going to go onto these campuses. They're going to promote these ideas, knowing that very well they can't actually, you know, act on them, right? We're already seeing Biden sort of walk back many pieces of the student loan forgiveness scheme that he's come out with. But what we've noticed going onto these campuses is when you look at the demographics, you know, you look at 60 or 70% of young people, millennials, get their news off of social media, whether that be TikTok, whether it be Snapchat, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. That's where they're going to get their news. And they're not getting the full story at that. They're getting a headline or a blurb, and they're forming an entire thesis or opinion around, you know, such a small piece of information. So what we've done is to combat against that is we've been going on social media to promote the news, to talk about the facts of what Donald Trump did when he was in office, while he was in office. That's one of the best ways that we can do it, you know, especially since that's the square to where information is being garnered. Another piece to that is going directly to the student, not preaching to them, but talking to them as if you're on the same level. That is one thing that the GOP has failed time and time again with their youth program, which they barely fund to begin with. I think from my time of doing this, there's probably been four or five youth directors at the RNC, all of which, you know, have either just left or were fired because they couldn't get anything done. That's a big critical problem. We need 24/7, 365, you know, days a week outreach to this community, just like we've been doing with the African-American community. In the Hispanic community, if you want to win these votes, you have to work for them. And I would also add another piece to that. It is not so much that young people are opposed to conservative ideas. It's that they're not exposed to them at all in the first place. And that's one of the biggest problems on these campuses among school administrators, among professors, is you have definitely a leaning Democrat appeal that you see on these campuses. And that's why we as conservatives, we have to fight back in the information square, going to these places directly, doing campus tours. This is one of the best ways, you know, I think that we get that support and, of course, the hearts and the minds of the younger generation. I would also say one more thing is that Donald Trump, when you actually break down his ideas, you look at his economic policies, his tax policies, his job policies, they worked for America. We were in so much of a better place then than we are now. So if you as a young person or you as a Democrat who may be listening to this, if you can tune out the mean tweets or sort of the rhetoric that you'd say is unpresidential because Donald Trump was not your typical president, and you just live your life under those policies, you would be living a much better life without getting into the weeds of every single thing Donald Trump said or did.
Absolutely. So many good points there, Ryan. But I'm going to pick up on the social media one because I think it's so true. Many young people, they hear about conservatism maybe growing up from their parents, but then they go to college and they become indoctrinated on campus. And I think in many ways, you know, we can't maybe take back a lot of these, you know, campuses in terms of the professors, but we can start kind of our own rebel groups and have, you know, our own clubs, and then also social media really infiltrate their minds because they're spending a lot of time on social media. So how do you feel like when young people maybe are getting their news in such quick snapshot ways, you can draw them in on social media? Because I see you as kind of a very digital expert. So if, let's say, we're trying to reach these young people online, what do you feel like draws them in to our message when they're seeing, you know, AOC or leftists on TikTok and things like that?
Well, I think, you know, Libs of TikTok does a really good job at that. When you look at the content, and this individual has been banned numerous times simply for sharing the words and the videos of what these people are saying, which means to me that, okay, what they're saying in the first place is probably crazy enough to get them banned on whatever platform they said it on. It's by showing these things, right? You know, pulling out the common sense and things, I believe, because when you think about it, not your average person supports the stuff that the left has been saying, where, you know, teaching kids about sex in second grade, you know, inserting CRT, right? Having it where every single flag under the rainbow is posted in a classroom. And now, you know, you have teachers coming out. How can I influence my student? There's videos where it's like, oh, this is how I influence my students today. And their parents don't know. It's like most average Americans, even young people, look at that and they're like, this is not who I am. So I think in itself, they're in self-destruct mode. I really do. I think that so many people, when you look at Florida on its own, like 1.5 million people left the Democrat Party to switch over to become Republican, compared to like 800,000 that switched from Republican to Democrat in Florida. That's like that all across the country, right? People feel like their party has left them. Joe Biden has lied so many times. The enthusiasm isn't there to begin with. It was barely there in 2020. Now you're seeing his numbers significantly dropped, cut in half, even more so among young voters, because they feel like he hasn't delivered on campaign promises, especially when it comes to, you know, fully getting rid of student loan debt, which some of those progressives want. And then, of course, the economic outlook that young people, when they get out of college, it's like job prospects are destroyed for so many Americans. Look at the housing market. You can't even afford to buy a house. Right. And look at the cities. Right. Kids are being forced out of the cities because metropolitan prices are through the roof, like $5,000-$6,000 to rent a 2-bedroom in some of these cities. So I think at the end of the day, you win when you start calling out the lunacy and you start going back to common sense. And common sense rhetoric, I think, is going to win because most people do not support these crazy, asinine things that are just being put out in front of their faces, you know, sort of like a spoon fed or more or less a fire hose of information. So I think that if we keep doing the social media stuff, we back that up with going on the campus, promoting these ideas, offering refutation of left ideas. You know, I always say, if the left thinks their ideas are so good, why did they not allow us to refute them and debate those ideas? Why will Dem candidates not debate GOP candidates in this cycle? This is stuff that we got to call out. We got to refute these ideas. We got to be smart. We got to be factual.
Absolutely. And let's talk more about some of those economic issues that are hitting young people. You mentioned the housing prices. You also talked earlier about the student loans. Biden makes promises, of course, doesn't really follow through on them. The Democrats are kind of just looking for these last ditch efforts to see how can we get some votes? How can we get some support before November? And some people are starting early voting much earlier than November. So if they just buy into things early, they can kind of get their votes. But what do you think are some of the biggest messages we can send? Let's just say on student loans to young people when it comes to that, because I know that many young people, especially who, you know, went to a trade school or who are not benefiting from this, I'm sure find this frustrating because they work incredibly hard, incredibly long hours, and they're the ones who will be paying off these other people's student loans who decided to, you know, get a major in basket weaving or whatever it is. So what's our message to them? And then secondly, what's our message to maybe someone who is one of those students who went to a college that they couldn't afford?
You know, I think it goes right back down to the fact that we as Americans need to have more we need to take more responsibility and accountability for things. If you go to a 4-year school where you're paying $45,000-$50,000 a year on a degree that isn't worth the paper itself that it's on, then you need to take responsibility for that. You need to acknowledge that maybe you made a mistake. You can't walk it back. You already made this decision, so you have to pay it off. I mean, that's how a loan works, right? You know, that's how it works in the real world. So, I mean, that's my whole thing with this whole issue. I've met so many young people who have paid off their loans and they feel some sort of gratitude, right? Some excitement from being able to do that because, you know, as a piece of your educational journey, you don't really get anything if you get it for free. And so I think one thing also on top of that, there was Senator, I think it was Tom Cotton, who just came out with sort of this policy proposal where colleges become stakeholders, essentially, in the, you know, the student's education, where they become a guarantor for up to 50% of the loan that's taken out. And if the student fails to pay it or fails to pay back, they're I can't remember the exact percentages, but they're liable for a certain amount. So it encourages universities, makes them more competitive. But it also makes it where they're not pushing useless degree programs they're going to get their students in a position where they can't pay off this loan in the future. That would be my solution to this crisis. And everything that's been proposed right now is short term. You know, giving someone $10,000 on their loan, that's not going to help anyone 10 years down the road. If anything, it just makes it worse. And the people who are going to benefit from that, usually it's more of the wealthier students in the first place when you look at any sort of student loan forgiveness, which a lot of people on the left fail to acknowledge. Another
Absolutely.
Piece on that. Another piece on that, looking towards what was your other question, by the way? I got so caught up in that one.
Oh, the other thing I mentioned before the student loans was the housing prices and how crazy it is for young people to buy their first home.
Yeah, no, that's something I've noticed myself. There's a place down the road from where I live right now. The home, I'm not saying I'm going to buy a $900,000 home, but the home was $900,000 in 2019. Now the home is worth $2.2 million.
Wow.
It's insane. It's insane. And this home is probably about 40 minutes out of the capital city. So the prices should not be that high whatsoever. I mean, it's kind of like a mediocre home, if I should say so myself. If that's happening here, it's happening everywhere. It's happening, you know, in Virginia, it's happening even in Florida, Texas, all of these places, they're having this crisis. But not only on top of that, you got to look at gas prices, which are still up 33% and only temporarily down because we're draining our strategic oil reserves. Those gas prices are probably going to go up to like $7 and $8 in the new year, just warning everybody. This is all temporary, so enjoy it while it lasts. You have food prices, which are still up, I think like 15 or 16%, if not more. Electricity prices are going up. It's going to be a dark winter. And I'm not talking about the COVID dark winter that we talked to, or that the White House posted on their website last year before Christmas. I'm talking about economically, it's going to be very dark for many Americans. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, there's not many toys that they can put under the tree for their children. Because it's just going to be that bad. And I'm not saying that to scare anybody. I'm just looking at, you know, the numbers. I'm looking at, you know, the future outcomes here on everything, sort of the trend that's been happening for the last 12 months here in this country. But it is scary. And I think for young people, too, coming out of college, you know, you just have this, you know, you just got this degree. You paid, you know, $50,000 in total college costs. You got to pay this back. You need to get a job. Yeah. And even though loan payments have stopped right now, I think until like November or December, eventually you're going to have to pay that back. You're going to need a job. You're going to need a source of income. So what do you do when the markets are just so bad? There isn't really much job opportunity. A lot of people don't want to work. The jobs that are available are like waitressing, retail jobs, gas station jobs. Those are the ones that I've seen more prevalent. But there's not a lot of opportunity out there for these young people. And I think that that's why Biden is losing so much support across the board, is because the economic outlook in this country is just so poor compared to where it was 3 years ago. Despite COVID, despite all of that, nothing has gotten better. Nothing has been built back better. If anything, it's gotten 100 times worse. And that affects these people who aren't in a steady job, who haven't had a career for 20 plus years where they, you know, maybe they have tenure as a professor, or, you know, maybe they're, you know, just very good at what they do. They have a skill that's not replaceable, right? So young people are kind of in a rock and a hard place right now. It's not just the housing issue. I mean, it comes to cars, being able to find a vehicle that's affordable. You know, I mean, look at the car market. It's insane. Everything's expensive, and it has an effect that, you know, I'm afraid is – well, I guess I'm not afraid. It's going to turn a lot of people away from Biden, even more so than the people that have been turned away now.
Yeah, no, it's definitely hitting everyone at all ages, but especially like you were saying with these people who are looking for, you know, maybe a first job or a first home or first thing because they don't have other things to build on from that. So it's just a different time than it was even a few years ago, as you mentioned. Well, Ryan, thank you so much for being with us. This was so insightful. You're going to have to come back soon.
Will do. Thank you so much, Danielle.
With the consumer price index increasing yet again, the stock market has been in absolute turmoil. What's our illustrious leader doing to quell the surge of inflation that's destroying American families? Oh yeah, spending more money and adding to the burden. Don't bury your head in the sand while your savings get decimated. Do something about it. I'm diversified into gold with Birch Gold, and you can too. Text Dinesh to 989898. Birch Gold will send you a free info kit on protecting your savings with gold in a tax-sheltered account. These are great people with almost 20 years of experience converting IRAs and 401ks into precious metals IRAs. Don't allow the left devalue your savings. Text Dinesh to 989898 and claim your free info kit from Birch Gold. Again, you can own physical gold and silver in a tax-sheltered retirement account, and Birch Gold will help you do it. Join their thousands of satisfied customers like me. Check them out. Text Dinesh to 989898 and secure your future with gold. Do it today. Illegal drug trafficking has turned our southern border into a war zone. It's a war that no one wants to talk about. I urge you to see Border Battle, the new six-part limited documentary series from Turning Point USA that exposes the sheer evil and inhumanity of drug cartels and the illegal drug trade. How the drug fentanyl, the cartel Jalisco, New Generation, and the Sinaloa cartel have created the worst overdose death crisis in American history. Fentanyl has killed tens of thousands of Americans. It's so dangerous, just 3 grains of fentanyl can kill you. Border Battle reveals how illegal immigration, human trafficking, and America's drug crisis has only been made worse by decades of government neglect. Today's drug cartels are militarized with sophisticated weapons, tanks, and drones that drop explosives on their drug competitors right on our southern border. We have never seen this before in the history of our country. Hear directly from Drug and Border Patrol agents about the horrific conditions along the border and what life is really like on the front lines. Watch Border Battle now. Download the full 6-part documentary series at salemnow.com. That's salemnow.com. I now want to welcome C.J. Pearson. C.J. is a political commentator attending the University of Alabama and is fighting for America first. C.J., I first want to congratulate you on joining PragerU. I just love what they do there, and you're great. So the fact that you'll be making videos there is really exciting. Tell me, what made you want to join the PragerU team?
You know, I've got to say that PragerU is doing incredible work all throughout the country in terms of reaching young people and showing them what it actually means to be a conservative. We have seen for far too long people on the left try to make conservatism out to be this anti-black, anti-woman ideology when it is not actually that. Conservatism is the belief that everyone should have opportunity if they work for it. And I think that no one has been more effective in the conservative space than PragerU at changing hearts and changing minds. You know, I tell people all the time, it's one thing to preach to the choir, but if we're going to remain competitive as an ideology, as a movement, as a philosophy, we've got to grow the congregation. And that's what PragerU has been dead set on doing. And I'm excited to join their team and do all I can to add to that course.
That's amazing. Well, CJ, I want to get your thoughts on some recent stuff in the news. Kanye West, he recently did an explosive interview with Tucker Carlson. Actually talked about a lot of things, but one of the things he talked about was being pro-life. He showed how he wears an ultrasound even to show people. He doesn't even care what other people think of it. He is pro-life himself, and he said, you know, he performs for an audience of one, and that's God. So do you think that that's mostly why the left wants to cancel Kanye?
You know, the left wants to cancel anyone of any color who thinks for themselves. It's absolutely despicable and truly is a manifestation of today, modern day slavery. They hate that Kanye is saying things that they don't believe he's allowed to say. They hate that Kanye is thinking thoughts they don't believe he's allowed to think, and also being truthful in the way he presents it. Abortion has plagued the black community for far too long, and he used tons of statistics to back it up. There are more people that have died in the black community in abortion clinics than police will ever be able to kill ever. But yet all you hear from BLM and the left and all those folks is that, oh, we need to stop police brutality. We need to stop all this. Let's stop the genocide that is being waged upon our community by Planned Parenthood itself. Look at their business model. 7 out of 10 Planned Parenthood clinics are located within walking distance of black and brown neighborhoods. That is not by accident. That is by design. And so to see people like Kanye West, who are free thinkers, calling out this atrocity for what it is, you know, I commend it. You know, I can't say that I agree with everything that Kanye West says, but when it comes to that issue, he's absolutely right. And he should keep speaking that truth and changing the hearts and minds that need to be changed.
Absolutely. And it's just sad also to see the left's attempt to call him crazy act like he only says this because he has some kind of mental disorder. I mean, as if they can just discount everything he says. And then also recently, Twitter has locked him out of his social media account and suspended Kanye. So we're definitely seeing a lot of pushback from the left with him on this. And I think, you know, regardless of what you think of all of his views, he should be able to speak his mind.
Yeah, you know, you're completely right. And I think that is absolutely kind of disappointing to see them weaponize mental health against him simply because he is not towing their political line. So because he echoes conservative beliefs or expresses conservative sentiments, he now all of a sudden has a mental illness. I think that is absolutely shameful and disgusting, but of course, part of the course for a lot of what the left does today. Kanye West is speaking his truth as he has the freedom to do as an American, and he should continue to do so. Too many people on the liberal plantation have tried so hard to quell free speech in Hollywood and so many other places, on college campuses and everywhere else, that if you dare have an opinion of your own, you deserve to be canceled. You deserve to have your livelihood ruined away. And now what we see right here is that they're taking away his ability to even speak on Twitter, on Instagram. Why are they so scared of Kanye West? I think that's a question that is on the minds of a lot of people across the country today.
Yeah, I mean, he really is just a free thinker in many ways. And he, you know, posed in the White Lives Matter shirt with Candace Owens. And that, of course, caused a lot on the left to go crazy. And I think he was just drawing attention to the fact that BLM actually didn't help Black lives. Of course, they're both two Black people wearing these White Lives Matter shirts. So what was your reaction to that?
Yeah, what does it say about the left that they were so offended by the notion, the idea, just the presentation that maybe white lives do matter? It actually pulls the veil from around of all their lies that they don't actually hate white people. These people do hate white people. They think it's trendy to hate white people. They go on Twitter, they tweet these things, and they look for validation and retweets. They want to seem all woke because they actually do have a ton of anti-white sentiment. But also to your point, yes, it completely exposes the hypocrisy of the fact that Black Lives Matter didn't do a single thing for actual black people. $90 million later, what is happening in Compton? What is happening in Detroit? What is happening in Atlanta? What is happening in Chicago? Black people are still being gunned down. Literacy rates among black children are still at record lows. They didn't do a single thing but buy mansions, but buy new cars, but buy new vacation spots. That is what BLM did for black people. The only black people it served were the people that wrote the checks, and that is it. And so Kanye West is completely right to call out that sham of an organization. And honestly, any person who actually cares about black lives for real and not in some weird, I'm going to post this on Instagram for clout and social validity, they should be calling it out too.
Right. And we've seen some odd reactions from some people who are actually conservatives. For example, I saw this New York Post article, Meghan McCain rips conservatives for Kanye West support. This is the title. I have zero tolerance for this SH bleep. So why do you think that people like Meghan McCain are so triggered by seeing, you know, these things from Kanye West?
Because Meghan is looking for validation from the people that Kanye West doesn't care to have it from. Meghan McCain wants to be invited to the cocktail party. She wants a chance to come to the Met Gala. She wants a chance to be accepted by the so-called in crowd. Kanye West is above that. This guy has made more hit singles, has contributed to the fashion world in a way that Meghan McCain will never be able to do. Meghan McCain would frankly never be in a position to do unless her last name, as it is, was McCain. And so I think there's a little bit of envy there. But I also think there's a little bit of social climbing at play here. The fact of the matter is the biggest enemy to people that are free thinkers are the biggest thing that scares people that are not liberated or people that are liberated. And Kanye West is liberated. He is not looking for approval from anyone. He is just looking to speak his truth because he believes that what is happening in this country to the black community at the hands of the left is wrong, reprehensible, and deserves to be called out. And more power to him for doing it, because not only does he have to fight the people on the left to do it, but he's got to fight the establishment hacks on the right as well. And I got to say, the American people are with him in that.
Literally. And I mean, it takes so much courage to be someone like Kanye. I mean, even think back to when he went to the White House, he sat with Trump, he wore his MAGA hat, you know, he talked about how he could even get, you know, attacked for wearing a MAGA hat, as many people have been. And I think the fact that he's willing to stand up, even when so many in Hollywood are going to cancel him because of this, whereas Meghan McCain, I mean, she's just trying to, as you said, be, you know, part of this kind of like elite class or something. When Kanye's like, no, I've already made the coolest songs and clothing, and I don't care about that. I care about God and what he thinks is right. Well, CJ, thank you so much for being here today with us. I really appreciate your perspective.
Thanks so much for having me, Danielle.
I want to end today's podcast by wishing everyone a happy Columbus Day. Columbus was an amazing man. If it weren't for Columbus, we wouldn't be here. We'd be in an entirely different America. He actually went in search of India. So if he had found it, he might have found my ancestors and my dad's ancestors, but alas, he did not. He landed here. Columbus had no idea what this great country would become. The good news is the D'Souza family was destined to end up where Columbus went, but instead of Columbus coming to us, we came to him. So here we are. If it weren't for Columbus, we wouldn't have the America that we know and love that draws people from around the world to her promise. Well, that wraps up tonight's show. Make sure to follow me on social media. I'm at Danielle D'Souza Gill on all the platforms. Truth Social, the best. Getter, amazing. Telegram, Rumble, the best video platform, by the way. And all the other platforms, too, like Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and the soon-to-be Elon Musk-owned Twitter. If you want to stay updated, please go to my website, AmericanaByDanielle.com. That's AmericanaByDanielle.com to sign up for emails from me. I'll see you all tomorrow. MAGA!
Subscribe to the Dinesh D'Souza podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Or watch on Rumble, YouTube, and SalemNow.com.